two teams coming together in the great gridiron battle of the ages. The kingdom of darkness is shakable. The kingdom of God's dear son is unshakable. Who do you think wins the battle? Well, it's the unshakable kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read of an incident that happened that could have exploded and changed the world forever, but it was not God's time. But the time is coming when it will happen. It takes place in Ephesus with the Apostle Paul and his missionary team. Do you know the Apostle Paul had 27 different other apostles and ministers who, different ones at different times, traveled with him on his missionary journeys? And we come to Ephesus, this dark place of witchcraft. How many of you have been to Ephesus before? Just my wife and I, it looks like. But I will tell you a little bit about it, because the ruins are there from this great ancient city. But it was a place of darkness, and Paul went there. We read about it in Acts chapter 19. And in verse 1, it says, "While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus." And now go down to verse 26, Acts 19, 26. It says, "And you see and hear how this fellow, Paul, has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus, and in particularly the whole province of Asia. He says that man-made gods are no gods at all. There is danger, not only that our trade will lose its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited, and the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia and the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty." The shakable and the unshakable. The demons were frightened to death of Paul. Let them be frightened to death of you as well. Heavenly Father, we open up our hearts now for the preaching of the Word of God. We open up our hearts because you have called us to great things until the glory of the Lord covers the earth like the waters cover the sea. And this day, Lord, we say yes to the dominion of Christ in every nation and in every place, in every community and in every family. And Lord, we ask that you would anoint us for service and show us your ways. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord prophesies to us that a great shaking will come. If we go to the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 26, chapter 12, verse 26, it says, "At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." The words "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. There is some things that are unshakable, but those are only the things of God. Everything else is shakable. And the Lord says concerning the end of days that there will be a shaking. It will shake the whole world. It actually began about 100 years ago. Do you know that this whole world has been transformed through this last century? In fact, at the beginning of the last century, there were empires and kingdoms that went all around the world. But through the First World War and the Second World War, this prophecy started to be fulfilled. This whole world became shaken, and empires that had been around for thousands of years came tumbling down. The great shaking has already begun. In World War II, empires and kingdoms shook and passed away. The Ottoman Empire, which was a Muslim empire, out of Turkey for 500 years, came tumbling down in World War I. The Chinese dynasties, which go back to pre-biblical times, came crashing down at the beginning of the last century. The Russian czars came crashing down, and no longer are there such things. In World War II, it just continued. The Dutch Empire came crashing down. Do you know the Spanish Empire was once the largest empire in the world? It came crashing down. The British Empire came crashing down, and so did the French Empire. The British used to say that the sun never sets on the British Empire, because wherever you were, you could look off into the distance and see another place that was a colony of the British Empire. But all of these empires came crashing down. And at the same time, Marxism and communism rose up in the world and covered a third to a half of the people of the planet and enslaved them. During the same time, half of the population of the Jewish people in the world, 6 million out of 12 million, were killed in concentration camps. And Israel was born, and a new day began. Do you understand that everything that can be shaken has already started to be shaken? But you have not yet seen the great shakings that are coming on this earth. This is the prophetic word of the Lord. Every nation, every community. Now, I am not preaching doom and gloom. I want you to understand that there's a bright side to this lining. There's a silver lining in this cloud. Because not only will everything that is of man and man-made be shaken, but the scripture says that we, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, look to the Lord. Because the Lord's kingdom cannot be shaken. And at the end of the day, there will be one name on the planet. And that name will be the Lord Jesus, King of Kings. The earth belongs to him. This whole planet belongs to the Lord. It is not negotiable. Back in Paul's day, he was sent as a missionary to Ephesus. Ephesus was one of the great ancient cities of the world. And there they worshiped this deity, a so-called goddess named Artemis. That is her name in the Greek. But her name that was used by the Romans was Diana. And they had such a temple built to her in Ephesus. When you go to the old city of Ephesus, it starts at the bottom of a hill where the ancient libraries are. And then you climb this steep hill, and there are ruins of huge palatial buildings on both sides. And then way at the top of the hill was something like the Parthenon. There was a temple to Artemis. This temple was one of the seven ancient wonders of the world. It was 220 feet wide and 470 feet long. For that time, it was massive. That temple was 2.5 times longer than this building and 2 times as wide. And people from all over the world were demonic. Do you understand that in every nation and in every place, there was pagan religions? This was
a religion that worshipped Artemis. It was full of temple prostitution and the misuse of women. It was a place of such darkness. They called this woman the goddess of fertility. They said she had come down from heaven. Theologians and philosophers, teachers, say it was probably some big meteorite that came down and landed in the vicinity that had all of these kind of nobulates on it. Because her statue, her torso, is full of breasts. She is the goddess of fertility. And all the world came to this place. And now, one man and his entourage are called by God to go to the center of witchcraft, this demonic place. And he goes there and he begins to preach. And he meets with the very small church. You know how big the church is? 12 men. That's how big it is. Take a look there in Acts chapter 19 and verse 2. Starting verse 1, it says, there he found some disciples. And then verse 2, and he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked these 12 believers, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied, and there was about 12 men in all. Now, I want you to know this city is about to be turned upside down. And there's just this tiny little church with 12 people. And they had a preliminary start with God. They had repented of their sins. Some churches are famous for repenting of your sins. They have altar calls at every service. And even if you've been saved before, come and get saved again. Repent of your sins. It's a good thing. But that's just the doorway. And you need a whole lot more than your sins being taken away, because God calls you into partnership with him. He calls you to be missionaries of the gospel. And it's not good enough for you just to have humanitarian aid for people, although that's wonderful. It's not good enough for you just to get people to heaven. The Lord wants to do more than redeem you. If you want to be unshakable, you have to be redeemable first. But then you have to be transformable. You've got to be changed to be like Jesus. You've got to have the power and anointing of God on your life if you are going to make a difference. I am thankful for every good-minded and well-wishing person who in some way serves community or missions. I think it's a wonderful thing. But as our representative said a little earlier, the only hope is prayer and the power of God in people's lives. And we cannot just have our sins forgiven. That's why when Paul came to this place and he met with this church, he said, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And they said, no, we have just been baptized with John's baptism. And he said, well, that's the baptism of repentance in the name of Jesus. And then he laid his hands on them. Look at your hands for a minute. What can those hands do? What if God were to move through your hands? The power of heaven would move through your hands to heal, to save, to bless, to help, to invigorate, to empower, to strengthen. What if those hands? Paul prayed another prayer once upon a time. He said, I wish that men everywhere would lift up holy hands unto God without fear and without anger. Become lightning rods of the power of God. Well, you see the end of this story. It says in verse 26 there that this man who is Demetrius, the silversmith, who is making lots of money, is all up with great concerns because everybody was coming to this seventh wonder of the world, to the great city of Ephesus, to the temple of Artemis, to pray for fertility for their nations, for their families, for their communities. And the silversmiths were making little shrines. You can see them in museums now. But they were made of silver, and they made a lot of money off of religion. People from all around the world came to this place. If they could only take one of these little silver dolls home, their crops would be successful. That was their pagan faith. And look what Demetrius, the silversmith, says. In verse 25, he called them together along with the workmen in related trades and said, men, you know we receive a good income from this business. And you see in here how this fellow, Paul, has convinced and led astray large numbers. Say large numbers. How many did they start with? In what place? Ephesus. Large numbers of people here in Ephesus, and particularly in the whole province of Asia. He says that man-made gods are no gods at all. There is danger, not only that our trade will lose its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited. And the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia and the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty. Well, she never had any divine majesty, but she had some demonic majesty. And she's certainly been robbed of her demonic majesty. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, until only those things that cannot be shaken remain. Now, it began with this group of 12 people believing that Jesus Christ could save them of their sins. And they repented. And then Paul the apostle came with electricity in his hands. Heavenly power source. He put his hands on them and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. He stays there off and on for 3 years and he ministers. And this church in this demonic place goes from 12 people to large multitude of people. And the very darkness is shaken and full of fear. Be careful what witchcraft you have in your home. Be careful what you are mixing in with your faith. I kid you not. Whatever you bring into your house that is ungodly and demonic, the Bible talks about it. It says, do not bring the abominable thing into your home, lest you become like it. There is a mixture in the world today, and it's in the church too. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And today you need to stand on ground that's the solid rock, and his name is Jesus, and there's no other name under heaven whereby a man can be saved. Now the Lord is gracious and compassionate. And I've said to you many times, most people who go to heaven are really messed up. But if you want the blessings of God, clean house. If you look in the book of Revelation, in the second chapter, you'll find that John is told by the angel of the Lord to send a letter to the seven churches. The first church he sends a letter to is Ephesus. And he says, look how high you have fallen, because they had such a time with Paul's anointing. Such a time of shaking up the devil's camp. And so many came to life in Christ, but they lost their first love. And then the Lord says to them in Revelation chapter 2, but there is something I congratulate you about. You will have no part with the Nicolaitans. And those are the ones who mixed the occult and idol worship with their Christian faith. He says, I congratulate you for this thing, O Church of Ephesus. You wouldn't have mixture. Now, there's mixture all over the United States of America and all over the church. Most people are limping. Most people have no anointing in their life and no power of the Holy Spirit in their lives, because even though they're saved and are going to heaven, there's a roadblock there. There's junk in the way, and the power of God cannot flow through them. But take a look at what happened after a couple of years of Paul preaching and people getting saved. Look at verse 11 of Acts chapter 19. It says, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Now, this is extraordinary. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that Paul's handkerchief would become so valuable? If you had one, you could sell it on eBay for a lot of money. I don't know what it looked like or how grungy it was, but something happened, because this man went into the devil's camp and he preached the gospel, and it was with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then miracles came, extraordinary healing miracles and casting out of demons. And the Bible says that even his handkerchief, if his handkerchief touch somebody, they could be delivered of a demon. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Somebody is sick, says, here, have my hanky. Where do you think we are, in Disney World or something? Is this the fairy godmother with her wand? No, this is the power of God. If God can use a hanky, he can use you. If God can use a piece of cloth, if his power can flow through something like that, what can he do with you who are made in his image and have the call of God and the blessing of God and the power of God? You can change your community. You can change your family. You can change the world, because you're part of the unshakable team. See, it's already destined to be shaken up. You should sign up today. You should say, you know what? I want to be part of the shaker team. I want to be in the unshakable camp, but I want to do a whole lot of shaking, because I hate the devil and I hate all he does to enslave people and to abuse people and to mess people up and to hinder people from their blessings, and to hold people back from their inheritance, and to thwart the purpose and blessing of God. He has done it for too long, in too many places, all over this world. But the Lord says, once again, everything in heaven and on earth will be shaken. So extraordinary miracles happened through handkerchiefs. And then we find a real mess, because you go down to verse 14, it says, well, let's start verse 13. Some Jews, this is Acts 19, 13, some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. This was in Ephesus. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And one day, these people were not Christians. They weren't really serious about following the Lord. One day, the evil spirit answered them and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all, seven of them. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. This is not a game. You're going to see this happen. Last night, we prayed. I don't know, more than 100 people or so came to the front for prayer. And healing flowed. The power of God came. People were set free. Curses and judgments, generational stuff, was broken off of their lives right here in this place. I remember when I was preaching at St. Giles Presbyterian Church on breaking generational curses, and a man died in the service. He was to come here this weekend to give his testimony. His name is Marvin Rollins. He lives in West Virginia, but he reluctantly was unable to come and sent a message to Anna, our administrative assistant, saying so. But he was there, and he had a heart attack. And a woman named Kathy Ross, I'm telling you names, so you know this isn't fabricated stuff. You can look up these people. I'll give you Marvin Rollins' phone number if you want. It's on my phone. He died. The woman who worked in the heart ward was there. Her name was Kathy Ross. We have a Kathy Ross here, but it's a different Kathy Ross. And she came and took his vital signs. She said, he's dead. And I took him in my arms. He was on the edge of the platform. I was praying. It was about midnight. People were all over the floor getting healed. I put my hand on him. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come back to life. And he went, oh. And he came back to life. And he sat up. And the life of the Lord came in him. He never went to the hospital. He was there at 9 o'clock in the morning. The meeting went that night till 3 in the morning. I was praying for people. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was there, sitting on the front row, looking just like a happy puppy dog, wanting to be part of what was going on. And he stayed the whole day, and I had lunch with him. I said, come and have lunch with me. He said, you know, I died last night. I said, I sure do. You were in my arms. I can't invite people to a healing service and somebody dies. I said, how are you feeling? He said, I'm feeling real good. I said, when you get home, would you please go to your doctor and send me a report? So 2 weeks later, I got a report by email. And he said, the doctor says, what has happened to your heart? You have no problems with your heart anymore. Where's your clogged arteries and your angina? And he said, oh, and by the way, Pastor Peter, my back was healed as well. You see, this isn't a game. This is real. If God doesn't heal and doesn't overcome the power of darkness, he is not God. He can't be creator of heaven and earth and not have power over smaller things. But he does. The Bible says that Jesus of Nazareth went everywhere, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. He delivered, he healed, he released the power of God. But these sons of Sceva, the priest, the Jewish priest, they tried to put it together with a program instead of the power of God. Don't think you can just sign up and say the words. You might be in for the shock of your life. You have to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb first. then you need to receive the power of the Holy Spirit of God and be led by that self-same Spirit. Take a look at verse 17. We're coming to the end. It says in Acts 19, verse 17, when this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear. That is when the demons beat up these seven guys. And the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. In what city? Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. How does revival start? Get ready for it. It'll be unexpected. A number who had practiced sorcery, witchcraft, brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. And they calculated the value of the scrolls. The total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. And great numbers came to the Lord, and the demon powers of Ephesus were shaken into a place of fear. Yesterday, we had a baptismal out here, and 11 people gave their lives afresh to Jesus and left the old life behind in the waters of baptism and came out in resurrected power to serve the Lord as his disciples. We have a baptismal tank. What we need is a fire pit. I'm going to ask all of our engineers to set up a fire pit on this property, because we need to have regular events of burning. Some burning events. Burning of witchcraft paraphernalia and drug paraphernalia and darkness paraphernalia. We're going to shake the gates of hell. Now, I say this as a little man who's not very strong. I don't have a lot of money. And not a lot of people follow me. But I am on the unshakable team. And I want to do some shaking. I want to rattle the devil's bones. I close with this verse. In Ephesus chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul speaks to the church in Ephesus. This is his letter to this church that grew to a massive church in the dark, dark place of witchcraft. And he says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. His intent was that now, through the church, say through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Hallelujah. Paul knew exactly what he was saying when he wrote the church in Ephesus. They had already seen a demonstration of power and the glory of the Lord. Now, don't be like the sons of Sceva. Don't be like the daughters of Sceva, who had a double life. Because when all hell breaks loose, let me tell you, it will get messy. What kind of church is it where demons might come out of somebody? What kind of church is that? Well, it would be a Jesus church. Now, we're not emotionalized people for the sake of sensationalism. But Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to open the prison doors, to set the captives free, to open the eyes of the blind, to lift off the oppression, and to proclaim the year of God's favor. And now, unto principalities and powers and rulers in heavenly places, to darkness and demons, let the wisdom of God be seen through the church of Jesus Christ. Would you stand to your feet? The shakable and the unshakable. I ask you today, which team are you on? Because everything that can be shaken will be shaken. This past 100 years has shaken the nations like no other time in history. But the days that are ahead of us will not be easy days. And there will be such a battle between the righteous and the unrighteous. I'll tell you something else. Many who are unrighteous will come to the light of Christ and become righteous. The teams are going to shift. But today, you need to set things in order. And say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't care where you've been or what you've done or how messy it's been. It doesn't matter where you're coming from, just where you're going to. And if you will take hold of the power of God, you will find the same anointing that took 12 people who didn't even have the Holy Spirit yet, turned the most wicked, diabolical place upside down, and revival came to Ephesus. Now hold your hands up. It's time to dedicate ourselves to the Lord. And I want to lead you in a prayer for you and your family. Would you pray this prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me. Today I rededicate my life to you. Forgive me of my sins and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I know it's not good enough for me just to believe. I need the power of your Holy Spirit. I receive your blessing on my life and on my children and on my grandchildren and on my family. I stand in agreement now with the unshakable kingdom of God. And I declare that the earth is the Lord's. And everyone in it belongs to him. I dedicate myself to the purposes of the kingdom of God. I speak it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Now I want to bless you. And I'm going to ask the prayer team to come to the front. And after I come to the front, please, prayer team, ministry team. And I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to release you. And there are some wonderful refreshments in the foyer that you can go and receive. Stay around, have some good fellowship. There's also a huge amount of free bread and cakes and cookies, all packaged up. Compliments of Ron Debedin, who's brought them. You can take them home. Give them to somebody or eat them yourselves. Not too many. But give them. Bless somebody. Also, if you want to sign up to be on our mailing list so I can send teachings to you, the place to sign up is over there. Also, there's some ministry stuff. that you can purchase. If you want to come with us to Israel, there's brochures at both tables. And can I see the hands of the ministry Nehemiah team leaders? Put your hands up. There are Father's Day cards and maps over there at that table. Over there at that table, you'll see them. Please go and get them. Now let me bless you. Put your hand on your heart. Let the Holy Spirit now come upon the people of God. I release God's power and healing into your heart. I speak the goodness of the Lord over you and his favor over your life. The power of God to be in your home and in the lives of your children and grandchildren. I open the doors for your future and I release to you anointing and purpose for your assignments. I speak the blessings and kindness of God on you and over your life. I speak it in Jesus' name. Amen.